chain store sermon in terms of vinyl.
Right.
But that sermon is available on iTunes. Okay. I'm not quite sure how we did that, but that sermon is available for iTunes. You can hear the conversation. Wow. And also the other side is part two, which is a fascinating acapella song by four gentlemen telling the story.
Well, I can't wait to hear that. I'm glad it's been preserved.
And speaking of rarities, we didn't talk about this, but...
Hi, I'm Susan from Stuyvesant. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
McConnell, when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature, I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where's that station again? Oh, now I remember. It's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belongs to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of J. Johannes Freibel Parker of Ravenna, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here are the WGXC news headlines. February 24th is the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the war there. The United States promised billions more in humanitarian and military aid to Ukraine on the anniversary. A Los Angeles judge on February 23rd sentenced former movie producer Harvey Weinstein to 16 more years in prison after a jury convicted him of the rape and sexual assault of an Italian actor and model. Weinstein is already serving 23 years for a similar conviction in 2020. Commerce Department reported that consumer prices rose 0.6% from December to January, up from a 0.2% increase from November to December. On a year-over-year basis, prices rose 5.4%, up from a 5.3% annual increase in December. The Albany International Airport has been awarded $2 million of funding through the bipartisan infrastructure law to rehabilitate its traffic control tower. The Bank of Greene County said February 23rd that it is setting up a $5 million low-interest loan program to support future business investments on Caro's Main Street. Hudson's Common Council unanimously approved on February 21st a resolution opposing state approval of the construction of the Hecate Shepherd's Run solar project in Copaic until the company can prove the project will not negatively impact the Taconic Creek watershed. High demand for new phone numbers has officials moving up the start of the new 329 area code in the Hudson Valley, which will now go into use on March 24th, 2023. And Major League Baseball began spring training games on February 24th.
Malcolm X, his struggle continues. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Malcolm X was assassinated 58 years ago on February 21st, 1965, standing at the podium before a crowd in Harlem's Audubon Ballroom. His wife, Betty Shabazz, pregnant with twins, and his four daughters, age 6, 4, 2, and 5 months, were in the ballroom looking on. As Malcolm began speaking, a man shouted, accusing another of picking his pocket, creating a disturbance. A smoke bomb was thrown. Amidst the confusion, three gunmen at the front of the hall opened fire. Malcolm was hit 17 times in the ensuing hail of bullets. He died on the stage as chaos erupted. Talmadge Hare, a.k.a. Mujahid Abdul Halim, was shot in the leg by one of Malcolm X's bodyguards as he fled the ballroom. He was caught on the scene with ammunition that matched one of the murder weapons. In the days that followed, two other men, Khalil Islam and Muhammad Aziz, were arrested and accused of being the two additional shooters, even though they were nowhere near the ballroom that day and could prove it. Hare testified under oath that his two co-defendants were innocent, but was ignored. Aziz would go on to spend 20 years in prison, Islam 22. Then, in 2021, more than 56 years after Malcolm X's assassination, these two wrongfully convicted men were exonerated. Muhammad Aziz was 83 years old. Khalil Islam died in 2009. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. opened a reinvestigation of the assassination and prosecution, complementing years of dogged research by journalists, historians, and independent researchers that pointed not only to the innocence of Aziz and Islam, but to the guilt of others. The reinvestigation spanned almost 2 years and uncovered previously undisclosed FBI and New York Police Department, NYPD, documents. It was revealed more than half a century later that the FBI had up to 10 informants inside the Audubon Ballroom. The NYPD had at least 3 undercover officers there as well, one of whom was actually on Malcolm X's security team. Evidence gathered by both the FBI and the NYPD that was exculpatory was deliberately withheld from Aziz and Islam. This information and more, the Manhattan DA argued, quote, would have resulted in verdicts more favorable to the defendants, unquote. The court agreed and vacated the convictions in late 2021. Muhammad Aziz and the estate of Khalil Islam sued both New York City and the state of New York for wrongful conviction and imprisonment. And in late 2022, they reached a combined settlement of $36 million. Which brings us to 2023. Today, the Audubon Ballroom has been restored and is the Malcolm X and Dr. Betty Shabazz Memorial and Education Center. On February 21st, the 58th anniversary of Malcolm's assassination, the family, along with their lawyers, held a news conference there to announce a forthcoming $100 million wrongful death lawsuit. The suit will name the City of New York, the District Attorney, the NYPD, the FBI, the U.S. Justice Department, and, interestingly, the Central Intelligence Agency.
We intend to have vigorous litigation of this matter.
That's civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump.
To have discovery, to be able to take depositions of the individuals who are still alive 58 years later, to make sure that some measure of justice can be given to Malcolm X's daughters who in this very room were present with their mother when he was shot at 21 times, 17 bullets hitting him. If anybody deserves justice after these decades, it is these women.
Malcolm X's third daughter of 6, Dr. Ilyasa Shabazz, an educator and author, spoke next, her voice shaking.
On February 21st, 1965, my mother came here excited to see her husband because the week prior, her home had been firebombed. She walked in here happy, and she left out shattered.
Ilyasa was also there that day, just 2 years old. She continued,
for years, our family has fought for the truth to come to light concerning his murder, and we'd like our father to receive the justice that he deserves. The truth about the circumstances leading to the death of our father is important, not only to his family, but to many followers, many admirers, many who look to him for guidance, for love. And it is our hope that litigation of this case will finally provide some unanswered questions. We want justice served for our father. Thank you.
Malcolm X was just 39 years old when he was assassinated, as was Martin Luther King Jr. 3 years later when felled by a sniper's bullet in Memphis. Both men were leading revolutionary movements for black liberation. Both were heavily surveilled and targeted by J. Edgar Hoover's FBI. The time for knowing the full truth behind Malcolm X's assassination is long past due. May this lawsuit provide the answers and the overdue justice that his daughters and this country deserve. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Andre Emeko reports for Porcupine Soup that the Bank of Greene County announced on February 23rd a commitment for up to $5 million in low-interest loans for business investments on Cairo's Main Street. Several new businesses have opened there recently. Bank of Greene County President and CEO Don Gibson said, and I quote, "We have designed a unique loan program to keep the momentum moving forward. The program will support existing and new business entrepreneurs, which we believe will spur more investments," end quote. There are not too many locations for businesses to move into on Main Street, and Cairo is already working on infrastructure expansion aimed at bringing manufacturing and distribution companies across from the McDonald's on State Route 23. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that the newspaper obtained 10 video recordings showing recent fights between students at Hudson schools. All but one are from the junior high school, which shares a campus with the high school, which is the location of the other recordings. The Times Union did not publish the video because they contain minors. Last week, a student threatened a school shooting on the campus. One parent told the newspaper, and I quote, "The teachers are afraid. The students are afraid. It is a volatile environment where no learning can go on," end quote. The fights have been going on with a Hudson Police Department officer on campus. One parent blamed the COVID-19 pandemic for so much violence on campus. The parent said, and I quote, "The primary issue is kids readjusting to normal society after learning during COVID that it's okay to say whatever one wants as a keyboard warrior," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Columbia County Democratic Committee announced on social media that on February 23rd that they backed Chris Liberati Conant to run for district attorney. Liberati Conant is currently an assistant solicitor general for New York State's Office of Attorney General. He said, and I quote, "I'm running for district attorney because every person in Columbia County deserves to know that justice will be done, no matter if they're red or blue, black or white, or rich or poor. The people of Columbia County deserve a professional, apolitical prosecutor that will do what is right, not what is politically advantageous." Longtime Columbia County District Attorney Paul Chyka, a Republican, is not running for re-election this year, giving Democrats hope that they could win the seat. Chyka and Columbia County Republicans have endorsed current Assistant DA Ryan Carty to run for district attorney. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
You've tuned in to WGXC during our winter pledge drive. It's called Please Assist Us with Transmission. And we're asking for you to assist us in transmission any way you can. You can make a donation, pledge your support at WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. Or you can apply to do your own show at WGXC.org. In addition, we need lots of folks to help out with our morning and afternoon news and information program. So if you have a special interest in films, in food, in the weather, in interviewing your friends and neighbors, if you're interested in politics or just helping out locally, email us at info@WGXC.org to assist us in transmission. Become part of the WGXC community broadcasting team at WGXC.org or make a donation WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 to pledge your support during the Please Assist Us in Transmission pledge drive at WGXC.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, a chance of snow showers mainly after noon. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 26 degrees and wind chill values as low as minus 3 degrees. Saturday night will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 15 degrees. And on Sunday, a slight chance of showers after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 40 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 22 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support. WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
And nursing a part, we know every card by heart. Overture, curtain lights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the better weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to wgxc.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay!
But also, like, just getting in the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves. I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or $20 a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear, having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it. The sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Let's take a detour to the Oracle Feed and Seed on the corner of Packard and Porter. The only local feed and seed that sells both good coffee and psychic advice, along with 50-pound bags of dog food and horse inseminator syringes. The only local business that contains the true oracular power of the falls themselves. When things seem murky and unclear, stop in and buy 6 dozen baby chicks in a box and ask the owners and proprietors, Agnes and Red Burbandonifon, about your future. Is that website you're working on going to be successful? Will you finally get that rare beanie baby from that jerk you continue to be friends with? Do the evil spirits that pursue you know how hot the real estate market is? Like, do they? It's so fucking crazy out there right now. Beyond the Western Door.
Shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausages at a go, or only bread and pickle for a week.
Good Lord.
Like, I'm trying to find, and hoard pens, like, and pencils, and
I can't do that.
And things
me,
and
I can't do it. I can't find them on the internet.
But now we must have clothes that keep us dry, and pay our rent, and not swear in the street, and set a good example for the children. We must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe I ought to practice a little now. So people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I am old and start to wear purple.
No, I mean, as a intuitive, you can't really see my room, right? I'm really kind of impressed, I guess. It's like,
the question is obvious and the answer is a secret. Just like usual.
You could turn into friends, so you can just actually be on a dating app looking for friends.
And then everyone else is just like,
He begins striking himself about the knees with it, and seeing him move
right
in the
now.
Direction of the three women. He drags burning logs out of the fire with his naked hands. He dashes 3 times around each of the women and finally collapses, like a dead man. During the whole time, no one has been permitted to touch him. While he repossesses Nal in trance, he is to be watched so closely that not even a fly may settle upon him.
Yeah,
his spirit has departed, and he is viewing the sacred mountains with their inhabiting gods. The women in attendance whisper to each other, trying to guess in what part of the yonder world he now may be. If they mention the correct mountain, the shaman steers in their hand or a foot. At length, he begins to return. In a low, weak voice, he utters the words he has heard in the world below.
It's like a fountain of crazy shock.
Then the women begin to sing. The shaman slowly awakes, declaring both the cause of the illness and the manner of sacrifice to be made. Then he announces the length of time it will take for the patient to grow well.
When once thus securely provided with a warm house for the winter, the Ichneumon grub, now nearly full grown, proceeds to devour whatever remains of the unfortunate caterpillar until occasionally no vestige of him remains. With this final leap, the larvae reach their full size.
And I keep calling, but it seems like nobody's here. Everybody else is the same way.
The cavity of the polyphemus cocoon with their bones.
So call back, and that leaf is saying, call me back. I'm you know, it's Jesus' birthday, whatever that means. They're too busy. Everybody is too busy.
And eventually make their exit through small holes in the outer cocoon.
I mean, I can tell you a billion things, but...
And fly abroad to the terror of future polyphemus cocoon.
I don't think everyone has the same talent.
Well, I'm 33, and I'm once again living in my parents' house. And I can see that they're getting old and slowing down. And they're asking me, when am I going to do this? When am I going to do that? You know, they're talking about their job, and they're really seeing the room like that.
I'm just saying the world is pushing because everybody is not compassionate or empathy. And that lady is not very spiritual.
She passed away in 2007.
What then is our mock?
And it's like, it stop leading me on, saying to call back.
But a rapacious robber fly.
And then when I call, when you finally have a chance to talk, they're not compassionate and they don't have empathy.
It hovers in the flowery haunts of
and they don't want to talk because they're liars.
Makes havoc among the unsuspecting small fry. Among the insects.
Which nature, for some reason, has wonderfully disguised as a bumblebee. It covers the flowery haunts of bees. In its disguise, it makes havoc among the unsuspecting small fry, among the insects, or even among many nearly as large as itself.
But I felt so much
clutching them with its strong
when I got home, I knew what I wanted, even though I wanted blue. Everybody else is the same way.
Having been nicely calculated as a larder to carry him to a
call back, and that lady keeps saying, call me back. It's Jesus' birthday, whatever that means. They're too busy. Everybody's too busy.
Spider nest. While the cavity is now filled with a filmy brown cocoon, containing perhaps a plump white larva, perhaps a pupa, or maybe a steel blue slender waisted wasp. Just making its exit, and fully prepared to tell you all about spiders, if you will only listen to his hum with proper understanding. So then, our dead spiders are not dead after all. A very little provocation in the way of a rude touch or jostle of any one of them will cause a perceptible tremor of the legs, even after weeks of confinement within this sealed blood chamber.
A wonderful provision of nature in this potent city of the parent
to ensure a supply of fresh living food for its young until the completion of its growth.
I have kids too. My kids find me funny.
Wasting time or not waste. This is back in 2007 I'm talking about, when I was working and in my spare time.
Yes,
I was
angst producing. You know, I want to almost confront him about the whole thing. But
I don't look on the internet to find, you know, that you can just go right to the internet. You can look, you know what Beanie Babies are? I'm aware.
Take a deep breath. Go into
the sky. I literally see the room darkening slightly, and then lighten up and then darken in a very strange way. I feel shivers running up and down my body.
Some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
My interview today is with Dutchess County of New York resident, pianist and composer Aaron Parks, scheduled to perform at the Hudson Jazz Festival 2023 on Saturday, February 25th, featuring vocalist Samantha Rise. This year's festival is titled The Shape of Jazz Today, and concludes its first weekend this evening and resumes for its second weekend, February 23rd through February 26th. Hudson Hall is located at 327 Warren Street in Hudson, New York. This interview was recorded on February 10th. All right, so I want to thank you for joining us today, Aaron.
Hey, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for the invitation.
You're performing at this year's Hudson Jazz Festival 2023, The Shape of Jazz Today. You'll be premiering a work commissioned by the Hudson Jazz Festival that will feature vocalist Samantha Rise. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, let's see. What can I tell you? It's a grand experiment in a lot of ways. It's something that I've not really done that much before, which is to collaborate not only with vocals, but also really with spoken word, and sort of having a lot of music that I've been composing for this with elements of sort of narration and sort of elements of kind of almost dream sequences that'll be interspersed throughout it. Some of it will be spoken, some of it will be sung with Sam, and they're a really dear friend of mine for many years, who we met 15 years ago, and just have maintained a really strong friendship, and talk, like, our conversations are wide ranging, talking about capitalism and abolishing the police and all sorts of just dreaming, and more than anything, it's a lot of our conversations have been like, not only what's wrong with the current world, but like, what could we imagine? What could we imagine if we want to make this planet of something, like, how can we make the future that we envision irresistible, right? And so, you know, one of the things that that Sam would always say, it's like, you can't sing and be afraid at the same time. Right. And there's really something to that. And they're one of my just a really dear, treasured friend. And so when this commission came up, when Kat Henry and the folks at the Hudson Jazz Festival invited me to be a part of this, I was like, you know what? I've been writing instrumental music for a long time that sometimes has imbued into it different messages, my hopes for how it might be received. But actually being a little bit more specific with the words, and having that sort of, having these pieces serve to exist simultaneously in their own right, and also serving the narrative and vice versa. So it's still a process of discovery, and we're still working on it. You know, we've got,
you've got time, a little bit of time.
We've got a little bit of time. We've got a lot, most of the music is pretty much composed with still tweaks, because I'm always tweaking up until the very end. Just long story short, it's an experiment, and I'm really, really curious to see how it ultimately comes together.
So what's your view on the shape of jazz today?
I mean, how can I say it? It's like, imagine the craziest shape that you possibly can. And that's what jazz today is. It's not any shape, right? It's every possible shape. There are no limitations on it anymore,
That is so well put.
Right?
Yeah.
One of the beautiful things about the music, that some people call jazz, some people call Black American music. Everybody's got their own words for it. Some people call it creative music. I'm not attached to or opposed to any of them. You know, music is music is music. But, you know, jazz is what we've been calling it for a while. You know, I'm not running away from that either. You know, it accepts everything. It accepts everything into this great melting pot, and right now it's omnivorous, and the kind of music that's coming out these days that's under that umbrella of jazz, it's so exciting to me, you know, it's one of those funny things, because you don't know. I love it all. I love it all. I love the new things that feel like you're not sure. You're like, is this jazz? You know what? You can't really pinpoint. I love straight ahead jazz. I love all of it, and I welcome it all. And I think that it's one of the beautiful things is that there's room for all of it, right?
Yeah. All right. Aaron, let's go back to the Hudson Jazz Festival. Tell us about the band that you're bringing in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. So let's see. So in addition to Samantha and myself, we have the great Michelle Indeggio Cello is going to be playing bass with us. Michelle, who has deep connections to the town of Hudson, to Hudson as well, right? To the city of Hudson. And when Sam and I first started working on this music, one of the things that just popped into our mind was like, how amazing would it be if Michelle would be willing to be involved with this? And so I reached out. Michelle and I had been on a panel together at the Winter Jazz Fest 4 years ago, something like that. We'd met each other through Terry Lynn Carrington. Yeah, just had stayed in touch sort of here and there online. And so I reached out, and it happened to work out, so it's going to be my first time getting a chance to play with Michelle, who's one of my heroes of music, just full stop. And so I'm really grateful for that. On the drums is a young drummer from South Korea originally, a guy named J.K. Kim, who's been here in New York for a while, playing with a lot of folks, really imaginative, creative, positive energy kind of guy, for the type of music that I was writing. It needs to be like, I needed, especially from the drums, somebody who is fluid enough and familiar, like that familiarity with the language of, you know, jazz and improvised music, but also wide open to a whole lot of other things, like many drummers are these days. But there is something in his expression that really speaks to me, and so I brought him on for that. And then as I got a little farther down the process of writing the music, I started realizing that there was an element missing. The original proposal for the for this commission was just piano, bass, drums, and spoken word vocals, right? And as I was writing the music, I realized that there was an element missing, and it was not only any element, I was just like, there's one person who I think I need for this. And it was a young musician, trumpet player and flugelhorn player. And she's from the mountains in Spain originally. I met her in Terry Link Carrington's Jazz and Gender Justice program when she was a student there. Milena Casado is her name. And she has a really deep understanding of how to use sound and silence, where to play notes, where not to play notes, how to sort of improvise from within a song rather than sort of asserting your, like, here's all the things I've practiced, I'm going to play them over the music, right?
Yeah.
Which is something that I'm always looking for within my own music, how to, like, let the music come from within rather than sort of having my preconceived notion of here's all the things I've been practicing and I'm going to show them to you, right? And so, Milena is a very special musician. So, and I just started to hear her doubling some of the melodies I was writing, and also even just sort of being around, like decorating the songs with flugelhorn fills in the background and things like that. So that's the band. And so far I've rehearsed with a number of them, like, individually, but we haven't all gotten together yet as a group. We're going to very soon. And so, you know, the grand experiment, we'll start to see, like, how does this thing actually sound when we put this all together? But the initial rehearsals have me feeling really optimistic. So
good.
To absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
We're continuing our sign of evil countdown. Here's Vanessa Williams.
Thank you.
Yeah.